Good morning. Welcome back. This is the I Am Sorry About Last Night podcast on the Rehoboth Social Podcast Network. It is July 14th, Tuesday. Hope everyone's having a great day. Beautiful morning. You know, every day I wake up and I'm not drunk is just another great day. I mean, really. Super run this morning with Sea Dog. Full of gratitude. Attitude of gratitude.
It's another tequila sunrise, staring slowly across the sky. Said goodbye. He was just a hired hand, working on the dreams he planned to try. The days go by. Every night when the sun goes down, just another lonely boy in town. She's out running round. She wasn't just another one, and I couldn't keep.
Good morning. No tequila sunrise this morning. Just a great regular run on the beach sunrise, but I haven't had a tequila sunrise in a long time. They look good. They look tasty. Like I was talking about the other day, I definitely have to think that tequila sunrise through. It doesn't work out well for me. So I hope everyone's having a good morning. It is morning. It is 9:20. So this bed, yeah, 9:20. Got to be to work at 10. So busy weekend. This is one of those weekends where life gets unmanageable, and it has nothing to do with drinking. You know, I get set in my ways. You know, we had family come in town, and you know, most people know that when family's in town, it gets a little stressful. You know, we have what we like to do, and then we have family come in town that they like to do. And then you try to merge the two, and that's where the stress begins. And it was a great weekend, but it was definitely stressful. And I got in bed last night. I was like, I'm just so glad that's over with. Love family. Absolutely love family. But you still... And then the tough part is, and to give you a small little bit about it, you know, the fact is that my in-laws come down. They usually get a hotel. They hang out with our granddaughter. And, you know, usually it's like, all right, and we have dinner and stuff with them, but they're usually on their own and they're having a good time. But now with this corona thing going on, they're not, like they stayed at my wife's parents. And then, you know, they don't want to, they feel like they have to entertain, and my in-laws feel like they're wearing out their welcome, and we need to be there. It was crazy, but I think they're going back today. We took them to the beach last night. Just spectacular evening. We all drove out, hung out on the beach, watched the sunset, took sandwiches out. It was just it's that thing. We did that thing that we all dream about doing. The only thing missing was, you know, Coronas or Tecate or some crazy beer with lime on the beach and the sunset and, you know, that fantasy. That wasn't there, or at least not on my part. I think there were some people there that were drinking, but, you know, nothing big. It was very mellow and just had a wonderful time. I had a conversation with a person last night who was part of an intervention for a friend. And I'm going to keep this all real anonymous. A person's friend was struggling with addiction and, you know, it was coming out in many facets, you know, whether it was through food, through alcohol. Not sure if there was drugs involved, but, you know, the train had come off the tracks a bit. And, you know, and I was explaining to this person that, because, she, you know, she, they were asking me, well, the person's getting out of rehab. They've been in 4 weeks, and, you know, I don't know if... How I want to react or what my place in this relationship is going to be now, moving forward. And, you know, and she was, the person was asking me, you know, what do you think? What's your thoughts on it? And, you know, it's all about accountability for me. Accountability, accountability, accountability. It seems to really be the core of all of my solutions, and really lack of accountability seems to be the core of a lot of my problems. My buddy Matt used to say, as long as you're a victim, you will never get better. And I'm like, I am not a victim. You know, I was not in an accident. I didn't hurt myself. But I was not accountable. And sometimes... And this is what I told this person. I go, you know, sometimes we have to take a hard look at ourselves to try to understand the role that we are playing in any relationship. You know, I've always said, you know, we're born, and then from that point on, it's just about collecting an audience. You know, whether it's a, you know, a positive audience, a negative audience. You know, when I was in the midst of my behavior, I only hung out with people that put up with it. I created an audience of people that either drank like me, that did drugs like me, put up with the shit that I put up with, were just as bad, if not worse than me. So I had kind of lowered my standards, and then I gathered a crowd that would deal with me. And I think that, you know, I think when I was talking to this person, you know, not only was this person's friend off the rails, but this other person was putting up with it. This person had become part of this other person's audience. And they were asking me, you know, what am I going to do? And I'm like, I think you need to really take a look at what part did you play in this whole thing. You know, you'll hear about it a lot. Somebody will get sober, somebody drinks for I don't know how many years, whether it's a male or a female. And a lot of the time, especially back in the older generations, you know, that the partnership stuck together regardless, thick and thin, thick or thin. And let's say it was the man that was drinking, and the woman's role sometimes would be just the caretaker of this drunken asshole. Or vice versa, you know. But a lot of the times what ends up happening is that the person eventually will get sober and then the person that's kind of stood by their side taking care of them is like, well, what do I do now? You know, a person like that, that's what they created Al-Anon. You know, Al-Anon was created because of all of the people that would come to these meetings. And then I forget Bill's wife's name, but she would go outside and all these women would be sitting in cars outside waiting for their husbands to get back from meetings, not really knowing the role that they play anymore. You know, if a person gets better, they don't need you following them around, like picking up the shit and, you know, taking care of them and making sure they're not saying anything or doing anything wrong. But, you know, I think that that's part of the beginning of that recovery as a family or as a group is that, you know, everybody has to figure out what role they played. And, you know, my advice was just to let this person know that you would no longer be part of the audience. It's weird also because a lot of times a friendship like that will be based on only about... I want to get drunk. Oh, my God, I got drunk. Oh, my God, I'm never getting drunk again. And then you as the audience are like, yeah, that sounds fun. Ooh, you need to slow it down. Yeah, that's probably a good idea. You know, always that cheerleader, always supporting, you know, always being there when they need you. You know, whether you're rolling your eyes or you know, bad-mouthing them after you hang up. But the fact is you're always there. Having to figure out the role that we played in this relationship. You know, I mean, I do it now with my kids. You know, as a parent, I think we're supposed to keep our kids active, you know, get them in sports, make them. I watch these people and their drive to make their kids better in sports, and I almost roll my eyes back in my head so far I see my brain. It's just Al-Anon. Whatever you call it, it's got it written all over it. It's like, it's so fucking obvious. Like, whether these parents just, they vicariously live through their kids or whatever it is. But it's just crazy. So as a parent, you're supposed to make your kids the most amazing kids ever, the smartest, the best schools, the best friends, the biggest parties, the, you know, the coolest sports, you know, whatever it is. And, you know, my kids, I don't really do that. I mean, I think for a foundation, for a core value, I think my kids are great. But they're not out, you know, oh, we have some free time. Let's go practice, you know, field hockey in the street. No, my kids aren't doing that. Oh, we got some free time. Let's go, you know, run and be athletic. No, my kids aren't doing that. My kids like playing video games. And they're good. Is that all right? I mean, my kids play Minecraft. They play Bed Wars, and they play online in these servers, and they're, you know, they're like playing people around the world. Freaking good at it. My son David, man, he's awesome at that game. I mean, they get rankings. You know, he's got a high ranking. I mean, that's what they do. But that doesn't seem like what society likes. So that's not, you know, that's not the right. Oh, they play video games. Yeah. I mean, how many kids can take that video games, electronics, working on computers into their adulthood? I can tell you, most kids don't take field hockey into adulthood. I do have a client, though, who plays lacrosse, and he's probably 55. He plays in an older men's league, but he still plays. But most people don't, you know. And I would be even willing to say that most kids don't even want to play. I think a lot of parents have, have a say in that, and it's probably good for them. And I'm not bad mouthing anybody. We do the best we can, right? We're just fucking trying to make it, and I get it. And if I was going to be critical of anybody, it would probably be the only reason I would be critical is because I feel like I'm falling short. Any attack on somebody is only because I don't feel like inside I'm probably doing a good enough job. Because I'm like everybody else. Video games are bad. Field hockey, good. I personally don't care for field hockey. I don't want to go watch field hockey. I don't want to go sit out there and watch field hockey. And I don't care that my kids aren't in field hockey. I like video games because they play them. They're good. But they only play one game. It's not like they have 100 Xbox games. They play one game, and it's, you know, they play on a team, they play on a server, they all love it, and they're good at it. But, you know, I question myself in it. But, you know, I only hang out with people that think that's all right. You know, I'm not going to hang out with somebody. I'm not gathering an audience of people that only like field hockey and hate video games, right? That would be a terrible audience. So we're always gathering an audience, and whatever it is we do, sometimes it's extreme, sometimes it's not. It's the same thing with getting sober. It's one of the toughest things about, for me, was just the, you know, the sheer boredom of being sober. I loved partying. And in the beginning of it, it was just regular partying. So it was a lot of fun. sobriety, I remember my first year being sober, and I went to an AA New Year's Eve dance. My goodness. I think they played Macarena. I'm like, oh my God, I should just go drink. But I didn't. You know, I was gathering an audience back in those days of sobriety. I was gathering people that were sober. It's hard to figure out a balance because, you know, I used to be like sarcastic. I used to love to joke around at people's expense, you know, have fun, had fun at people's expense, didn't care, had no clue that I might be hurting people's feelings or, you know, maybe doing it to make myself feel better about myself or whatever it was I was doing. I had no clue. It's just sarcastic asshole behavior. And, when I got sober, it was pointed out to me several times, made me feel like 1 inch tall, and then I just put sarcasm asshole guy in the closet for good reason. You know, I don't need to be like that, but it's sometimes it's fun. You know, I like to have a good laugh at someone else's expense, but it ain't cool, right? Hurts people's feelings. So I'm like, well, I can't do that anymore. And then I remember, when it was pointed out to me how I tend to make things about myself. Well, that made me feel about 1 inch tall again. Well, can't do that. It takes the fun out. I mean, every conversation, hey, man, what's going on? Da, 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 da. Oh, well, yeah, I did that too. It's like we always tend to make things about ourselves so we can relate. It's called having a conversation. But then they're like, I don't understand why you have to make everything about yourself. And I go, I don't know. It's just how I relate to your story and try to add to it. I mean, my buddy Matt, you would say, you know, I would say something and he would just sit there in silence. He wouldn't turn it into something about him. You know, he's like, I'm assuming you didn't tell me that because you needed my opinion. Maybe you're just trying to get some stuff off your chest. I'm like, yeah, that's what I was doing. So then all of a sudden I can't comment on conversations. I'm like, fuck, man, my life's boring now. I love relating shit to my own life, making shit about me, being sarcastic. It was all fun. So then you're like, okay, boring. But I'm sober. And honestly, I'd rather be sober and boring than not sober and having fun. Excuse me. But the point was, is it, you know, this sobriety comes at you in a lot of ways, and it's really easy to jump on the and pile on of reasons why being sober sucks. I hung out with a lot of people in the program early, still do. They can be a little bit boring. Sorry. You know, always analyzing everything. That's the fucking, that's the most important part and the part that drives me crazy. People say it's AA brain or it's like a cult. It is kind of like a cult. But it's a good cult, personally. And it isn't a cult, but it's, I mean, I don't know what the definition of a cult, I guess I could Google it, but, you know, you come into a group of people. You kind of are reprogrammed to live a life that's helping others and, you know, staying sober. It's a really good idea. Like I said, we all could use a little round of 12 and 12. I told this person last night, we should all be in AA. The problem is that we're not all alcoholics. You know, it takes that moment of shame and guilt to make you opened up to the idea of getting sober or addressing some of these things in your life. You never just go, fuck it, I'm drinking. It's a series of things. And the idea of a 12-step program is to understand that so that you can be there when the first of a series of things happen, then you say, uh-uh. No. I played a role in this. I'm accountable, la-di-da. You know, I told this person yesterday, I said, you may not have a relationship with this person anymore. They may not need you. But you have to be accountable for the role that you played and realize that you might not be needed. You know, if this person calls and says, oh my gosh, you know, because I think the major part of their relationship was basically either her drinking too much, her life sucks, boo hoo hoo. And if you don't have someone to sit there and listen to, you really, the story is worthless. And sometimes we find out that that was our role to listen. And when that story ends, sometimes they don't need us. And then I guess we have to try to figure out why we were so interested in helping them. Right? Why did I need to fix them? What do I fucking care? You know, I learned early in sobriety and in the program that I don't spend a lot of time helping people. The people that want help, the people that are ready, it doesn't take a lot of effort. The people that do not want to be sober, the people that are still full of shit, it's a damn second job. And honestly, I don't feel, I'm not doing it. Good luck. There's plenty of people out there that'll help you. But I will not. My hope is I will stay sober and I will try to live a sober life and be a good example. And that's all I can give you. But if you want, you know, if this is a something you have to do, your wife's or husband has sent you, or you're supposed to do it because of you getting things signed, I just don't want any part of it. Just don't. I'm getting a bit cynical. I see people, I go, they're never going to make it. Oh, they might make it. I don't know. It's tough. Hey, who knows? I may not make it. There's days. My wife asked me the other day, I did that podcast that said I miss drinking, and she's like, would you tell me if you started drinking? I'm like, Christine, you would know. I'm not going to just one day be this and then the next day drink. My life will be coming unraveled way prior to the drink. And, you know, I've drank before. I've been there. I've done it. It's fucked up. You know, one day I didn't want any alcohol. The next day I couldn't stop drinking. That's just how freaking fast it clicked over. And, but it was ignoring all this kind of stuff. This stuff, I told my friend last night, I go, my life didn't become unmanageable till I got sober. I thought that was very funny. Because in the step it says, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. It's become unmanageable. But that's one of those weird ones. And, you know, you can pick through the words of AA and these programs, but we, as a group, admitted, gave up, surrendered, put our hands up, I give up. We admitted that our lives have become unmanageable. See, that's to me. See, I was lucky enough, I only drank for like 12 years. You know, I meet people, I've met people, I mean, they drink through their whole life. You know, as a teenager, through their whole career, you know, raising kids, drinking through the whole period, you know, into retirement, and then finally maybe get sober. But have just wrecked their body, you know, drank for 30, 40 years. You know, knock on wood, so far I've only drank for 12. And really, the last three really were the hard ones. I mean, I drank hard prior, but that's when February of 94, when I moved here, that's when all the drugs stopped. I mean, I would balance all my drinking and drugging evenly, but when all the drugs went away, it was just all alcohol all the time. I got heavy, I got gross, I was just disgusting. And you know, that's when that was the beginning of the end for me. But my life, I'm a self-centered asshole with deficiency in humility. My self-centered choices had made my life unmanageable. You know, I feel like that's kind of the tricky, sticky part of that. It almost, if you read it, you would think, oh, my drinking made my life unmanageable. No, this is a disease of self, and my self-centered choices has made my life unmanageable. Or maybe what I assume or wish was life and the lack of it and managing that has become unmanageable. But my life in general was not unmanageable. It was so simplified. It was drinking and working and apologizing. Drink, work, apologize. Very simple to manage that. But now, sober, you know, lady says, oh my God, this is the best haircut ever. I want to freaking be the next Paul Mitchell, right? I talked about it in the podcast a while back when I cut that kid's hair, and it was crooked, and his mom had to take him to get it fixed. I fucking wanted to crawl under a rock. I'd become that damn fragile. That, to me, is unmanageable. That needs help. That needs addressing. I need to learn about this. I need to understand what's really going on in this because I can't handle those ups and downs. You know, that shit is bipolar. That's bipolar. I'm extreme. You know, you tell me I do a good job and I want to be the president of the company. High. Extremely high. Tell me I did a fucking bad job and I want to jump off a fucking building. Extremely low. That is bipolar. I am bipolar. I call it alcoholic. I call it self-centered. I'm weak in that department, but that is the bipolar. And they have medicine for that. But can I just start to like, okay, man, if someone tells you you did a good job, just be like, yeah, thank you. Just be like, I don't need to be the president of the company. I appreciate that. Thank you. And if someone tells me I did a bad job, happens. Just a human. You know, I have to think the whole fucking picture. Sometimes I go 5 years, you know, how many complaints compared to how many compliments? I think I was just having a bad day and I have to work through it. I have to think through it. Just like I talked about in the podcast the other day. I have to think through the compliment. I have to think through the criticism. I have to think through the drink. I have to think through the conversation. You know, I've had multiple problems. Alcohol, drugs, women. Ugh. We could start a whole new podcast on that one. I have to think that woman through. I have to think that conversation through. You know, I'm in a business where I deal with a lot of, you know, I work with a lot of women. I have to think all of that through. I don't want to be on medication for bipolar. I don't want to be being on medication for depression. I said it before, I think people that are depressed are just not getting their way. That's all. It's pretty simple. Now, can you recognize that? Can you say, Tom, you're just not getting your way this time. What do you want to do about it? And I go, okay, you're right. I'm all right with that. This is why. This is this. This person last night said, I think that God sent you, put you in our lives. I said, I think God made you open for the message. I mean, God doesn't send people to people's lives, but are you willing to have an open mind and be humble and grace and have grace that you see the gift? That's what God sends. Hope everybody has a great day. When it comes down to dealing, hey, if you got to say sorry, say it, man. Get it out of the way. Get it over with. Apologize. Move on. Don't waste any time in that negative spot.
Wonder why the right words never come.
it numb. And it's another tequila sunrise. This old world still looks the same. Another frame.
Have a great day, everybody. Catch you tomorrow.